come out to launch a great book that's being launched at the Writers Festival on Saturday. It's from Songwriters Speak, and it's got all those old favourite Australian and some overseas artists too that you remember from all through the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. See if you remember who this one was. And this one was one of the little questions we had in the trivia quiz last night too. Okay, did you remember that one there from the Master's Apprentices? Do what you want to do, be what you want to be. Yeah, was one of the answers of the trivia question last night. One of the people who would have known the answer to that if she'd been there, of course, was Debbie Kruger, who actually wrote the book that the song is also about and is also is all about the songwriter.
Good morning. What was the question?
What was the question? Good morning, Debbie.
Hello, darling.
Welcome back. You're on the other side of the desk. Not where you were for 4 years here at Bay FM.
Six.
See, I stand corrected. Get used to that, listeners. She'll do it all through the interview, but never mind.
I'm still a Bay FM presenter in my own mind.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, you've been off working on lots of other interesting projects since you left Bay FM, but this one's always been actually your lifelong ambition, hasn't it, almost? Well, not lifelong, but for the last 5 or 6 years, you've harboured this secret ambition to write a definitive book on Australian songwriters.
I have, and I did. I've done it.
You've done it. Oh, well, 45 of them anyway.
45 songwriters speak to me in this book.
You had to cut it down from a very long list. It must have been very difficult to select who actually ended up in the book.
I did have a wish list of over 100 songwriters, but as I looked down them, I mean, it was quite clear that some of them were far more important and essential than others. I think there were probably 60-odd that really should have been in the book, but it just would have been too big a book because I wanted the interviews to be very in-depth, really long conversations, not just some sort of casual passing article that you might read in a magazine. So to get 40 chapters, which is 45 songwriters within 40 chapters, 600 pages, that's pretty good going.
It's not exactly bedtime reading because it's such a big book, it's hard to balance on your knees.
Well, it's really amazing the number of people that have emailed me. They've either ordered the book from me or bought it in a shop, and or even the songwriters who came to my music industry launch in Sydney the other night, who sent me messages saying, oh, I went back to the hotel and didn't go to sleep until after 3 a.m. because I couldn't put the book down. So it's really flattering that that people are sort of getting into it and then don't want to put it down. But, yeah, I mean, you can't really read 600 pages in one sitting.
Well, because you're interviewing people about a fairly intimate creative process, when one reads the book, it's kind of like such a peek into their inside workings. And I think we're all fascinated with the inside workings of other people's minds. And when they're creative people, and particularly people whose songs might have influenced us all so much when we're growing up and in our life, that it's really interesting to hear, you know, what went into the construction behind the song.
Well, not just the construction, but what was the spark of inspiration? I mean, Because I Love You, the song you just played from The Master's Apprentices, and you still haven't told me what the question was in the trivia.
Well, there was no particular question, but it was, what song was that we played few bars of the intro?
It was Name That Tune.
Yes, okay. Name That Tune.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's called Do What You Want to Do, Be What You Want to Be, but it's actually called Because I Love You. And Jim Keys wrote that with Doug Ford, and Jim told me that it was specifically written about when the Masters went on that big boat trip to England, as all the bands in the 60s did. They'd win the Hoadley's Battle of the Sounds and they'd win a free boat trip to England, and they all thought that they could make fame and fortune over there. And because they were the biggest rock band in Australia at the time, there were about 8,000 kids on the dock when they left Sydney, or it might have even been Melbourne. And they were so emotional about that love and really felt that they were embarking on a new adventure and leaving this behind. So that's in fact what they wrote the song about, even though it comes across as a pretty straight love song. Yeah, and we also talked about, you know, the fact that it has a very long instrumental introduction, which is quite unusual in those days for a radio pop song.
It was unusual in those days, but you got away with it. These days, it's actually a lot harder to get away with that kind of pushing the boundaries. I think in a lot of ways, pop's become a lot less adventurous.
Oh, absolutely. These days, you could never write and get played on radio and go to number one an 11-minute, three-part song like Evie, which Vander and Young did in 74. So
yeah, see, in a way, too, a lot of the people that you've interviewed, because they're people who've been on the scene for a while, were part of that whole seminal push through the 60s and 70s, which pulled Australian music up into international attention. So there was lots of really experimental and interesting work too. So they're among the people who, you know, have got some more interesting things to say. Now, you mentioned that you did a big Sydney launch for the book this week. Now, where was that held?
Glenn Shorrock, the lead singer of Little River Band, or Bertil Shorrock Goebel, as they now have to call themselves, he and his wife Jo offered to host a party at their home. So we did that on Tuesday night, and I had about 12 of the songwriters in the book come along. Jim Keys was there, and Don Walker from Cold Chisel came along, and quite a few. And Ivor Davies was there, Sharon O'Neill came, Todd Hunter and Joanna Piggott were there, Brian Cadd. So Richard Clapton turned up. He'd already been partying somewhere else, as is his wont. And a lot of music industry people and friends, and it was just incredible. There was so much goodwill there, and I felt quite overwhelmed by the support, because although I spent pretty much 4 years on this book, and certainly 2 to 2.5 years full time, not doing anything else, just working on the book, interviewing, researching, travelling, writing. And because I was out and about meeting songwriters and interviewing them, nevertheless, I would still go home and write the book on my own, and it did feel like I was in a cocoon for so much time. So to have the book out there and to have that support and that acknowledgement from not only the people that are in the book, but just from people at large, I mean, it's the most gratifying thing, I guess.
We're going to go to a track now and come back and talk about what you'll be doing at the Writers' Festival. But you've bought me a really...
This is very, very special.
A very special CD. You've bought me some demo tracks, some songwriters' demo tracks. How did you get your hands on these?
Well, the story is that as I was interviewing songwriters, occasionally, it would usually be in their studios or at their homes, and they'd be telling me the story of how a song came to be, and they'd go, well, actually, I've got the original demo of that. Do you want to hear it? And I go, yeah. And a few of them gave me copies of these demos, and I said, well, how would you feel about me occasionally playing one on radio? And they were like, oh, yeah, okay, as long as you don't give anyone else a copy. So, yeah, I've got the original demo of Todd Hunter and Joanna Piggott's Age of Reason, which, of course, was a huge hit for John Farnham, with Mark Hunter on lead vocal, and that's pretty special. And the one you're going to play is John Farrar.
I can play Hopelessly Devoted to You by John Farrar, which,
John
of course,
Farrar,
made a hit for Olivia Newton-John.
John Farrar, the great songwriter and producer for Olivia Newton-John, who wrote the two big hits from Grease, You're the One That I Want, which I'm still nagging him for the demo of, and Hopelessly Devoted to You. John was in a band in the 60s in Melbourne called The Strangers, and they were very renowned for their falsetto voices, and they were very inspired by the Beach Boys. So John sings in a very falsetto voice, and this is just such a hoot. And he'd die of embarrassment if he knew I was playing it, but he said I could.
Okay, if you all remember the version that Olivia Newton-John did, this is the songwriter's demo version.
From 1977.
1977. We're talking with Debbie Kruger here about her fabulous book, Songwriters Speak, and we'll be back just after this particular track and a couple of sponsorship announcements to continue. Oh, and you've still got 10 minutes to get in for the muffins.
I want the muffins.
Well, you have to be a subscriber.
I know, I must do that.
Well, never been before played on radio anywhere in the world. There was John Farrar's demo version of his song, which later, of course, made millions of dollars for both Olivia and himself.
Bought him his nice 3-acre estate at Malibu, yeah.
And certainly did. You only need one song.
Well, he's had a few. I mean, I think You're the One That I Want is even bigger, because that's the one that gets played on the radio all the time.
We're going to come right back after this announcement. Welcome back to Arts Canvas, and I'm talking to Debbie Kruger. Debbie, do you know that people are listening in as we speak online?
Yeah, I know. In fact, every week I tell myself, oh, I must listen to Peter and Karina online, and every Thursday I get caught up doing something else and I don't get a chance.
Somebody rang me up this morning at 5 to 9 and said, I heard that Debbie Kruger's in town and I thought she might be on Arts Canvas. Is she? And I said, yes, at 10. He said, oh, because I really want to listen in. I thought, great, she's got lots of fans out there. And I thought to ask who it was, and he said, it's Slick Vic.
So, bless him.
So Vic is out there this moment at work.
Where are you, Vic? He must be in Sydney. Yeah.
Working.
Vic, I need your new email address. I sent you an email overnight and it bounced.
Well, there you are, Vic. I hope you're listening. And
email me. Go to DebbieKruger.com and email me.
Yes. And hello to all our other listeners out there.
And I love you, Vic.
AFM.org. She loves you.
I love Bay FM. I love the website. I love the fact that you can listen now. I wish I was back on air. Oh. I should just give up my life in Sydney and come back, shouldn't I?
Well, you should.
Do breakfast
now that you've finally published a book after all these years of labour. But you're not going to, because you've got a fabulous new job.
Let's not talk about that.
Won't talk about that? No. You're going to be busy, though, aren't you?
I'm going to be very busy. It's weird the way things work out, but I'm going back into corporate life later this month. So my plans to move back to Byron have had to be put on hold yet again, but I will be back one of these days. You'll be in the new studio maybe even by then.
Yes, we will too. We will. We promise we'll be in the new studio sooner than you actually get back here. Now, over at the Writers' Festival, you're on a number of panels.
I'm on a couple of panels, mm-hmm. and in addition to having another book launch for the book.
Yes, another book launch.
I'm talking tomorrow afternoon at about 2:15 about interview styles. Fiona Wiley is chairing that panel, I believe, and Ramona Cavall, who does the book show on Radio National, is in that, as well as Alana Valentine, the playwright. And it's an interesting one, because when I was looking for a book deal, when I was shopping around with publishers looking for someone to publish this book, the women that I ended up working with, Limelight Press, got my attention, because in our discussions, one of them said to me, well, it's not just about the songwriters, it's about the art of interview. And I thought, bingo, someone gets it. Because some of the major publishers, one particular major publisher, wanted to do it if I changed them all from Q&A to narrative. They wanted to hear my voice. And the whole point of it was, this isn't about my voices, this is the songwriters speaking, and I want you as the reader to open a chapter on, say, Don Walker or Nick Cave, and feel that you can actually hear their voice. As soon as you turn it into narrative, you're paraphrasing and you're editorialising, and it just changes the flavour altogether. So Limelight Press understood that it is about the interview. And so I was happy to work with them, and I'm looking forward to that panel. These headphones are a bit weird. And the other panel I'm doing is on Saturday, and I'm doing that with Rob Hurst and Andrew Stafford, and it's called Writing About the Music Business, or Writing About the Music Industry. And Rob, of course, wrote a book about his last tour with Midnight Oil in America. And Andrew Stafford wrote a book about the Brisbane music scene, and I've written my songwriter's book. And James Valentine, who I just passed on my way into town, he was strolling off a brekkie, he's going to be chairing that, and that should be a great panel. And then we're launching Songwriters Speak, the literary launch, as opposed to the music industry launch, at the festival at 5:30 in the dining room of the beach resort. And Rob Hurst is going to say some words, and Deborah Conway and her husband Willie are going to sing, and I think Rob might sing a song for us too. So if you've got passes to the festival, or you're still thinking of getting them, come along, say hello, buy my book.
Buy your book, you can get it personally.
I'll sign it for you. With love, Deb.
With love, Deb. Now, what we haven't mentioned, of course, is in conjunction with the book, Mushroom Records released
Festival Mushroom,
fabulous double album CD set of all the songwriters who are mentioned in the book.
Pretty much all of them. And the great thing about this CD, this double CD, is there are a few great things. One is that I got to choose the tracks. some of the BFM listeners might think, oh, my God. But it's great, because other than usual compilation CDs that are tied into TV shows or books, this isn't just a compilation of greatest hits. This is actually about the songwriters. So there are album cuts, there are lesser known hits, there are songs not performed by the songwriter, but performed by artists. So John Farnham sings Age of Reason, which Todd Hunter and Joanna wrote. And then you've got Olivia Newton-John on there, and you've got Cliff Richard, and you've got Chicago, because the songs that they recorded were written by Australians. You're going to play Nick Cave, are you not?
I was going to play Nick Cave, that's right. Yes, now, you and Nick Cave is rather interesting, because you'd never listened to Nick Cave before you started this book, but you felt you had to sort of get familiar with the guy before you actually interviewed him, and you actually got quite won over by his work, didn't you?
Absolutely, that was a real journey for me. I'd avoided Nick Cave's music. I just didn't think it would be for me. And I'd always gone in different directions musically. And I guess I was a bit blinkered. And look, that was the case with a few of the artists in this book, a few of the songwriters. You can't be a diehard fan of everybody. So you find who you like and you kind of stick to it and you explore a little bit. But I hadn't explored Nick Cave. And I knew he had to be in the book, and I wanted him in the book. And as soon as I got confirmation that I could see him in England, I sat down and started studying him. I spent about 3 weeks studying Nick Cave, and I got all his CDs, everything going back to Birthday Party. I even listened to some Boys Next Door. And I listened to about 15 albums in chronological order, and I read his biography and I read a mountain of interview material that was available, and I went through this incredible journey, and I found his work, particularly once he got past the initial post-punk grungy era, which just isn't my thing, it doesn't work for me, certainly from Tender Prey onwards, it's witty and it's deep, and there's a lot of love in there. There's a lot of life-affirming love stuff in there. And it's funny. I mean, all his murder ballads and all that macabre stuff, it's just plain funny. And he wants to be funny. He has a great sense of humour. And so, yes, when I met him, I told him up front, look, I'm a bit of a Nick Cave virgin. I didn't grow up listening to your work. I haven't been like most journalists who interview Nick, you know, want to make a point to him. I've listened to you for 20 years and I'm a big fan and I want to talk to you about drug addiction and I want to talk to you about PJ Harvey. And I didn't want to talk about any of that. I just said, look, I sat down and I studied your work. I went on this journey and I want to talk about God and I want to talk about love and I want to talk about, you know, where you are when you write the songs and how your collaborations work with the Bad Seeds. And he really appreciated where I was coming from. So we spent 3 hours together and he's my pal.
We're going to have a track.
And I'm a fan.
Okay, he's a big fan.
So I chose this track for the CD, which Nobody's is Baby, Nobody's Now. Baby Now. He wrote it originally for Johnny Cash. When Johnny Cash did the American recordings where people wrote songs for him, Nick was asked to write a song and Nick wrote this and then liked it so much he thought, bugger it, I'm not giving it to Johnny Cash, I'll record it myself.
Okay, you can get the CD in record shops, I believe.
Yes, it should be available around here.
And you can get the book?
You can get the book at good bookstores, and if they don't have it, tell them to order it for you. You can get it at the Byron Bay Writers Festival, certainly. And you can also get it at www.songwriterspeak.com. That's songwriterspeak.com. You can order it from there, and the author will sign copies from you.
Well, there you are.
For you.
We're going to wrap with this one. Thanks for coming in, Deb.
Thanks, Karina. Thanks for having me. Hi, Byron. Love you. Miss you.
And we're going to do the draw on the muffins.
Muffins.
When we come back.
Okay.